This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. It is Lee Chui Lin and Kelvin Yee. Coming up on the show, we've got the next installment of our 101 look into single-use plastics. Today, we talk about its impact on our health.
And after that, it's Skip Intro. Today, Ian, Bahe and Julian join Lin in the studio to review Brightburn, a movie that sort of seems to answer the question, what if preteen Superman broke bad?
And you can join the conversation too. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. All this is coming your way on the Evening Edition.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
7:05 in the evening, and before we get to our plastic story, we of course dedicated all of the 6 p.m. hour to the fact that it is 1 year, you guys, since GE14, and a lot has happened, but we wanted to kind of look at the people whose lives have been impacted very directly by...
And very immediately.
Yes, by what happened on May 9th itself. So we spoke to people who, I guess, swapped positions in terms of power. We spoke to people working on the ground to get red ICs converted into
blue ICs.
And lastly, we just heard from...
Regular
old Malaysian Jason Leong, Dr. Jason Leong, about, you know, what his hopes are and have been. And we've been asking you as well, what has the impact been on you? So first up, we have this from Sharon Azmi.
It was a great moment at first, but both the far right and left spoiled the fun for me.
Yeah, I think that's where the mixed feelings has been coming in, right? You know, kind of having to listen to the rhetoric and what goes on in the news. As people who cover it every day, it can be quite disheartening.
It can be quite draining, and you can see perhaps one side is okay with playing the game of scorched earth where they try to burn everything so long as I make it out.
On the other hand, Daniel says, keep up the good job, Pakatan Harapan. Don't quarrel internally. Focus on helping the poor across board. And then a memory from Francis saying, I was in my shorts wearing an electric yellow t-shirt to vote just to defy corrupt officers.
Perhaps cosplaying as Pikachu to vote.
Well, you know what I'll say? I will say shorts would have been a good idea. I remember that the dress code was, you know, kind of strict, but it was such a hot day.
It was so hot. And I kind of regretted going so early in the day as well, because when you leave the voting booth, you find that the lines have been cleared and anyone could just go in and vote immediately. You didn't have to wait for, say, an hour, 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that sense of I was excited and nervous, and it was just a really big day, but also just, oh my goodness, so hot. Wisely says, to turn around what's done for 60 years is impossible. If, say, 5 out of 10 items from the manifesto are already in place, that's more than what the previous government did during their time in power. People should realise that. Secondly, during the past regime, there's no press freedom. Nowadays, we're able to have access to all news via all mainstream media. This should be appreciated. For only a year, considering a lot has been done to undo what happened since Tun's resignation. And then just very quickly, we've had a couple of messages come through on the issue of SST.
Yep.
All not happy, basically, and pointing out that it takes a lot of time for businesses to have to make the changes that are implemented. And I think that is a sentiment that's been expressed not once, not twice, but quite a lot from the business community that, look, you know, we are going to need clear guidelines on what it is that you're asking us to change, what it is that we need to abide by. And that's perfectly fair.
And to the people working in the tech industry as well, I believe the common consensus is that GST was a much more transparent and fair system compared to the SST. Though, of course, because it was a political promise that essentially drove them, pushed them into power, they still had to fulfill it. So it was... I don't know if it's still a popular decision, but it was a difficult one, and to their credit, they stuck to it.
And lastly, from Ling.
What a country is going through since May 9th is like someone with very bad money habits, like they bust their credit cards and personal loans capacity, who faced intervention on May 9th, 2018. The first year is always the worst, having to tighten our belts, work harder, cannot simply spend money, pay off high interest loans, and so on. Once, one by one, the bad credit is paid off, life gets better. But it does get harder before it gets better. Well worth it once we're out of bad debt.
Fingers crossed that that's the case, Ling. Everyone has been saying, I mean, whenever we speak to people, they do say 2 years, right? Two years is halfway pretty much through the mandate. And that is a more reasonable time to look at goals, to look at what's gone on. I mean, we have heard people who are more impatient than that, and I can understand why. Some issues, especially when it comes to human rights, feel much more pressing than that. It feels like you can't wait that year. But let's see. I think our show on the second year of it is going to be quite different.
Yeah, because by then, two budgets would have been out already. And it's easier to start judging them, giving them a report card.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, it is a continuation now of our 101 on single-use plastics. We've been taking a look at different facets of this. Yesterday, for example, we spoke with Dr. Serena Abdulrahman, visiting fellow at the IC's Yusuf Ishak Institute, and she spoke about how plastic waste breaks down into microplastics in the ocean, and then that ends up in the food chain. Here is that clip from Dr. Serena.
In the oceans, there are currents that kind of go round in circles. So anything caught in these currents just end up going round and round between the continents for years, for decades. They have traced rubbish that came off the coast of Japan, and it just spun in this, they call it the gyra, and it spun in there for like 50 years, and all it did was break down into smaller pieces. It never really disintegrates. But what it does do is break down into tiny, tiny, tiny pieces that we can't see. And what eats this actually are things that ingest anything in the water. So plastics stay within these animals. So let's say a smaller animal eats it, like a jellyfish. And then a larger fish eats a jellyfish. And then a larger fish eats that fish. So what you have is an accumulation of plastics, chemicals, anything else that's bad that's floating in the sea.
You just heard a clip from our interview yesterday with Dr. Serena Abdulrahman. And from marine health, we're going to be focusing today on human health.
We've got on the line Professor Dr. Mustafa Ali Mohammed, from the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Malaya. Prof. Mustafa, thanks for joining us on the show. Let's start with the good side first. How have single-use plastics benefited human health?
Okay, when we talk about plastics, everything is packed in plastics. Plastics help us to protect our food and drink. Protect means when the product comes from the factory, they are put in such a way that it is preventing the contamination from organisms, from bacteria, from oxygen sometimes, from getting bad. So this is called preserving the material while they are being transported from the factory to the consumer's kitchen. See, that is one example. There are a lot of plastic materials being used to protect the bacterial contamination in several aspects of medication, surgical, and also in wound treatment. The best material that they are using now are plastics, because plastics do not decompose very easily, and they do not get wet, and they can be cleaned very well. So these are the criteria or the characteristics of plastics. What the problem now is that people do not use the plastics in the right way. For example, if you buy margarine, the casing, people think that that is a plastic container and I can use it as I wish. Actually, the plastic is made only to carry the margarine. The others, the manufacturer do not consider that so much. So if we used to put oil, we used to put hot water, the plastic is not meant for that. That plastic cannot withstand the hot water. So the plastic material will leach out into the water and goes into whatever that you are drinking.
So can you talk to us then about the negative impact on health of that material, that particular material that leaches into the food that we consume? What does the research say there?
The most important effect that has been documented and that has been studied is that they can affect our endocrine system. Endocrine system is the system of hormones in our body. If our endocrine system is affected, we are quite severely affected in our physiology and in our normal function. Okay, this is more important in babies and also in young people. In babies, for example, plastic materials were known to cause defect in the development and also the developmental process of the brain, of the organs and all that. It starts in the mother's womb. If the mother is exposed to plastics, these plastics can affect the developmental process in the womb. In some cases, for example, when the organs are developing, let's say the hand is developing, if the plastic is exposed at that particular time, there could be a chance that there is something wrong with the hand or some defect will happen. But at other time, it may not affect the baby or the fetus. So what we can see is that these plastics affect the development of the babies in a critical window of exposure. That means if they are exposed at a critical time or certain time of the development. So it is not all the time that plastics can affect the fetus. Plastics also affects fat metabolism. That means it can help to build up fat in the body. So this is seen in adolescents and in youngsters where they are on diet and so on, they do exercise and so on, but they find that their body weight does not reduce. So one of the factors that was reported is due to the presence of these plasticizers in their body or in their food.
There are plastic bottles and food containers in the supermarket that advertise a BPA-free logo. What is BPA, and is it necessarily safer to use BPA-free products?
BPA comes from the word bisphenol A. And bisphenol A is a material that is commonly and very widely used to make plastics. So bisphenol A, last time they are used to make baby feeding bottles to make it hard and strong and very common. Bisphenol A is known to affect the reproductive system of babies. And also, it was suspected to cause breast cancer in ladies because they are affecting the estrogen receptors. They bind to the estrogen receptors, which are receptors for the hormone that leads to cancer in ladies, breast cancer especially. So what happened to bisphenol A is that the Malaysian government has banned bisphenol A long time ago, but what has happened in the industry? When you ban bisphenol A, the industry has come out with other type of bisphenol in the market, which may be more dangerous, may be less dangerous. We are not sure.
Prof, as a medical researcher, how worried are you of the health implications of the prevalence of plastic? Because it's so common. And what's going to happen if we continue business as usual? I mean, what outcomes are you hoping to see?
My worry is about human, because human couldn't care less about so many things. This is common, especially Malaysian, sorry to say this, but I can see that a lot of people do not bother about the instruction, the labeling. If they say keep cool, people don't care. They put in a warm place. You don't follow the instruction properly. Then you are looking for trouble. See, not only plastics, other material also. If you take, for example, stainless steel, if you keep it in a very, very strong acidic material for a long time, the stainless steel may rust and may corrode. So the proper use is always the best. So that is my advice, because I feel that plastic can be very dangerous. For example, acidic materials like jeruk or pickle, people put in plastics for a long time, and some of the plastic are very soft plastic, which can leach out a lot of phthalates and plastic materials. This is very, very dangerous, actually. But people don't care. They say this plastic is cheap. And also, they don't have the knowledge about it, and they do not want to learn about it. So there are many factors that comes in. But in the end, their health is at risk, or somebody else's health is at risk, because they may be the food providers. So all this put together makes me worry about what we are doing because we don't follow instructions.
Prof. Mustafa, thanks for speaking with us. That was Professor Dr. Mustafa Ali Mohammed from the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Malaya. Up next, we continue our conversation about the impact of single-use plastic on human health. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about single-use plastics. Actually, all of this week, we've been doing a 101 on its the various facets, the various impacts that it has today with a focus on human health. So when the conversations around the plastic straw ban first came up, there were concerns from disability rights activists who said single-use plastic straws are an essential part of their lives. To help us understand that, on the line is Hamida Hassan from the Malaysian Spinal Cord Injury Advocacy Association. Hamida, there have been discussions around why reusable straws like metal, glass or paper ones just won't work for members of the community. Could you explain to us why that is?
Oh, yes, definitely. We are from the Malaysian Spinal Advocacy, Malaysian Spinal Injury Advocacy Association, a bit upset on this issue. It is not only affected the community of spinal injury, but PWDs as a whole. We should understand that people with disability have certain categories of injuries, difficulties, and limitation. So, implementing these straw ban policies is actually affecting our lives, especially on our independence, on our rights of freedom, rights of living. You know, because certain people with disability would need this a plastic straw in order to drink, you know, because it is a requirement. It's like a necessity in their tools in order to drink, in order to consume their food, you know. Yeah, so it does affect the community of person with disability as a whole.
Right. And when it comes to reusable straws specifically, then what are the main concerns?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, there are some limitation for a person with disability, right? They have certain injuries or certain disability that restrain themselves from using plastics. For instance, yeah, certain plastics are meant standardized, right? Their length, sizes, and etc. But some person with disability have their needs, like their length of the straw would be some difficulties arise because if the straw is too long, for instance, it doesn't cater their needs, you know. It must. So there's a lot of things that we need to consider. For instance, if we use like a paper product of a straw, it is very easily melt and it's not accessible. It's not friendly enough, you know. And for instance, if you ask us to use from iron, what happens if the drink is hot? Is it? It's not safe for people with disability to use kind of metal straw to drink their drinks or to, you know, to eat their to consume their food. That's some of reasons that we have to take into consideration before we suggest for something. And it is very important actually to include person with disability to be included in the decision making so that their needs can be addressed in order to produce solid policy to be implemented to the whole people, to the whole public.
Are plastic straws provided to people who need it upon request at restaurants?
Well, knowing human factors is a rise everywhere, right? So there are some places that might understand the needs or necessity of the disabled people, but some are not. So it depends. There are places that can provide this kind of straw if people with disability require it, but there are also some places that are not. But as you understand, some people might have difficulties in speaking and communicating or to request even. So it's there are some, you know, constraint and limitation that these people with disability would face in order to apply these policies, actually.
Hamida, thank you for speaking with us. That was Hamida Hassan from the Malaysian Spinal Cord Injury Advocacy Association. And tomorrow we're going to be continuing our exploration of single-use plastics after the 7 o'clock news. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.